Hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
That's my fact buddy, Prashanth Venkat.
Can you hear me?
I can. So I just emailed you a picture, and whenever you get it, open it and then describe it.
Okay, I'm opening up the photo. Okay, I'm looking at a blown-up image of a very, very tiny creature crawling along what appears to be the outside of a cell.
What does it look like, the
It's
creature?
worm-shaped. It's got eight, what appears to be eight legs on the first eighth of its body, and then nothing else. It's just a snake-like body. And I would imagine it just crawls forward and drags its long, slender body along with it.
It's an enormous tubular tail.
Yes.
This is what's called, this is a face mite.
Oh, no. God damn it, Flora.
I am sorry, because that's what this whole episode is about.
Why?
They're everywhere. You're covered in tiny spiders.
This is horrifying. Oh,
There's a civilization of these
oh,
in your face.
can you please offer a disclaimer before this episode?
This is Every Little Thing from Gimlet Media. I'm Flora Lichtman, and your face is covered with arachnids. I love this fact. I also realize I'm in a minority on this one, but I love thinking about the idea that there's this whole alternate reality that I'm oblivious to, and that the drama of this world is unfolding on my face.
I usually find that people definitely express, some sort of revulsion, but then they're really curious.
There are a handful of face mite experts in the world, and Michelle Trautwein from the California Academy of Sciences is one of them. And if I can get you past the revulsion, here's the reason to be curious. There's a society living on your face. I want to know everything about them. What are their customs and traditions? How do they spend their day? Who are they?
There's two species of mites that live on our face, and one is long and skinny, and I consider it to be the more gregarious mite, so it lives in groups, like in clusters. You may find four or five all clustered together at the top of a pore. And then there's what I consider its short, fat cousin that lives by itself, and it lives deeper, kind of in your sebaceous glands.
I love how the tall, skinny one is like the social one. That's just it's I actually hate it, to be
The shorter,
honest.
fatter one's happier, though, right? I'm sure.
I'm sure. I am sure of it. These mites are related to scabies and ticks and distant cousins of scorpions and spiders. The mite cities, their densest population centers, are around your nose, eyelashes, and forehead. Their diet is pretty oily. They consume mostly the contents of your oil-producing cells. And their days seem relatively relaxed. They spend most of their time in your pores. But at night, things heat up. Researchers think they come out of your pores in the evening to have sex on your face.
And they have some really bizarre things about them, like the males have a penis that sticks out of their back, which is bizarre.
To us.
Yeah, to us, exactly. Totally normal in their world.
In the mite world. Do you have an order of magnitude guess for how many face mites are on a person? Like, how many face mites are on me right now?
I mean, definitely thousands.
They seem to come in peace. They don't seem harmful for most people, although they have been associated with rosacea. And they seem to live on almost everybody. On the face, but also on other hairy parts of your body. And your mite colony is specific to you. In fact, your mites can tell you a lot about your life.
Anytime you spend much time cheek to cheek with someone, you may get a new kind of colonization of face mites.
Your mites migrate via cuddles, which means that the particular mite society that lives on you reflects your most intimate personal history.
You know, you may be able to tell who you've slept with by, you know, the mites on your face.
If you couldn't tell already.
Right. You hire a mite detective if you suspect your partner of cheating.
Your mites can tell you other things about you, too. You mainly inherit your mites from your parents. There's evidence that they migrate during breastfeeding, but you can also get them from your dad. And mite colonies stay with families for generations. So they're kind of like this proxy DNA, which means that mites can tell us where we come from.
We could definitely make a good guess, yeah.
And down to what resolution of geography? Is it like continental or does it go beyond that even?
It goes so much beyond that.
Really?
It's very exciting. So for example, I have a handful of people I've sampled from Ethiopia and they all cluster together in like a beautiful little Ethiopian, you know, cluster of face mites, you know, very distinct from the other African samples I have.
Hmm.
So, you know, these mites aren't just gross creatures on your face, right? They actually can tell a story about human history and how we've changed over thousands and thousands of years.
Michelle thinks that mites can help us with big evolutionary questions we don't yet have answers to. One of the things Michelle's really interested in is whether mites could help us figure out what route early humans took out of Africa.
When you consider human evolution and the fact that it's a historical science, you can never really know when you've hit the absolute truth, right? Because you're, you know, recreating the past. But I think having multiple lines of evidence point to the same story is really important.
If mites are going to help us tell the story of human evolution, we need to know more about them. So Michelle is working on a mite map of the world that looks at the genetic differences of face mites from different parts of the globe. So the team has collected 1,000 samples from 80 different countries. And what that means practically is asking her kids, her colleagues, and a lot of strangers if she can scrape the mites off their noses.
I think, is this him?
Yeah.
I've had a lot of, you know, semi-awkward conversations where I ask, you know, Uber drivers if I can scrape their face.
Did you know that you have mites that live on your face?
No, I never. What would they look like?
Well, you know, what's interesting is they all look the same. But now that we can sequence their DNA, we can tell that even though they look the same, they still are really quite different.
So Michelle managed to find maybe the one person who wasn't repulsed by this information.
We're wondering if at the end of our ride, you'll let us swab your face.
Of course.
To see where your face mites are from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so then what do you have to do to actually get the face mite? And what are you carrying with you to be ready to scrape at any moment?
I have a very petite kit that I carry that has a tiny, tiny face spatula. And I'm going to just scrape your face, and then I'm going to rub the gunk onto a swab here. So that's where I like to... Is that okay? Is that too hard?
No. Okay. It's perfect.
Are people easy to be tested, or are some people kind of hesitant to give you samples?
Often when we just sort of spring it on people like we did today,
yeah.
I have to say we get mixed results. And so we were really actually very relieved that you were interested.
Like I said, I'm all for science. You know, life is a mystery and we need to find out where we come from. What's our purpose here?
Cool, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks again.
That was George Ponce. After the break, we try to solve a mystery for Michelle, one that's related to a pretty unusual object that she keeps in her office.
It's an old garlic jar, and I think inside is a sheep vagina, but I'm not sure.
And yes, it does have to do with mites. Scientists discovered that our bodies are planets for tiny spiders in the 1840s. Michelle is a modern mite pioneer, but she said a lot of her research builds on work actually done by one guy, this kind of legend of the mite world?
Yeah, so there is one guy, and I haven't even spoke to him, though I'd love to, and his name is Clifford Desch. He is really the mite old guard, and gosh, like, I would love to spend a week with that guy.
I gotta find him.
Wait, let me tell you, I have this one crazy connection with Desch.
The connection is an object. A friend of Michelle's got it from Clifford Desch and then gave it to Michelle.
It's like an old crusty jar with some kind of animal vagina in it. Anyway, so I guess because she had moved on from these mites, I got delivered this old jar. She said it had been sitting in her pantry for like a decade.
That's like the first really hard laugh I've had all day, so thank you.
To be really specific, it is a Shaw's garlic jar that appears to be decades old. There's liquid in it and some indeterminate tissue material. Michelle sent me a picture of it after this interview. And of course, I will put it on our Facebook page so you can examine it. And after I heard about this, it was clear that we had to find Desch. Why does he have a garlic jar with a vagina in it?
Hello?
Hi, Dr. Desch. This is Flora.
Yes, this is he. Hi.
Hi. Cliff Desch is retired now, and he probably knows more about Demodex mites than anyone else alive. Over his 40-year career, Cliff described more than 30 new mite species. By looking very closely at the skin of animals, Cliff found that mites aren't just all over you. They're all over lots of things.
Let's see, the leaf-nosed bats in South America, snow leopard, various rats, certain opossums, marsupial mice from Australia, California sea lions. Just trying to, those are.
But mite collecting can be harrowing.
Hamsters have some incredible teeth that can go right through your finger. Anyway, they're brutal, so the dead animals are better.
So Cliff developed an alternate collection strategy.
I used to keep plastic bags in the car so I could go down a road and pick up roadkills, because I know, for example, red squirrels have 3 undescribed species and gray squirrels have 2. And
like, do people drive by and say, what are you doing?
No, it's no, I'm usually faster than that.
That is dedication. So Cliff spent a lot of time scraping animals, which laid the groundwork for Michelle to scrape humans. But that still doesn't explain the mysterious garlic jar and how Michelle came to have it.
We are not available now.
Oh, no.
Please leave your name and phone number after the beep.
Hello?
Hi, Dr.
Hi.
Desch?
Yes,
this is Flora again. Hi.
Hi.
I have Michelle Troutwine on the line here.
Uh-huh. Hi, Dr. Desch.
Hi, how do you do?
Good, how are you?
Okay, have we in fact ever met? Frankly, I don't
know. No, we haven't, but you're like a legend in my mind, so I'm very excited and very privileged to get to talk to you today.
Oh, well, thank you, because I don't particularly look at myself that way.
Yeah.
Clifford, Michelle has something of yours, and I thought maybe you two could talk about it.
Oh. What is it?
So it's an old garlic jar, and I think inside is a sheep vagina, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, the sheep one I did when I was on sabbatical.
Yeah, the sheep one is from when he was on sabbatical. This is not the only jar of its kind.
So I had quite a few jars of those.
You do?
And I must have given some to somebody. I don't know.
Cliff collected this particular specimen in New Zealand.
In Wellington, they have a slaughterhouse, mostly sheep. It's sort of like a disassembly line, if you've ever watched it happen. Animals come in whole and they go out in pieces, you know. So anyway, these guys knew that I needed this particular piece of the anatomy. So the sheep would come by, and then there'd be this one little thing hanging on a hook. So that's, we got a couple jars of those.
Dr. Desch, does this mean that you went to a slaughterhouse in New Zealand and said, I need your sheep vaginas.
Now, I can't remember if I can't imagine I just walked in the door and asked for this, but I don't remember how it was set up, but I know I spent quite a while there because I had these quart pickle jars, and I think there were a couple of them we filled up. So it was interesting.
Did they think it was weird? Like, how did they respond?
Well, I'm sure they thought it was weird, you know. Yeah, I'm positive they thought it was weird, but they didn't seem to mind anyway.
Life is weird. Sometimes the answers to the origins of humankind start with a garlic jar of sheep vagina. This is actually what I love about finding stuff out. I love that it requires Cliff Desch to go to a slaughterhouse and ask for sheep parts, which then sits in someone else's pantry for years, before it eventually makes it to Michelle Troutwine's desk. And then, once it's there, it makes total sense for it to be there because it actually represents the foundation of her work, work that can tell us about the origin of humankind. Before I let you both go, I have one question. Why don't people care about mites, and why should they?
Well, I think they don't care because they don't know. Although,
that's what I was going to say.
Michelle, why should we care?
Oh, we should care because they're crazy and bizarre. You know, we've been to the moon, but there's still these mysteries, you know, even on our own bodies that we have yet to figure out. So I think we should all care.
Yeah.
Every Little Thing is produced by Flora Lichtman with Christine Driscoll and Gofen Pudumwele. Our senior producer is Catherine Wells. Our editors are Devin Taylor, that's me, and Alex Bloomberg. Scoring by Martin Crane. We were mixed by Dara Hirsch and Haley Shaw. Special thanks to Nicole Pasolka.
Also, a correction from our reserves episode. We said that 3% of helium goes to entertainment uses, like party balloons and hot air balloons. Hot air balloons, just like the name implies, are propelled by hot air. Although, there are some hybrid balloons that seem to also use helium. And now I want to do a whole episode on ballooning. You can find us and Michelle's Garlic Jar on Twitter at ELT Show and Facebook. And if you're digging the show and want to write a review on Apple Podcasts, that helps us out a lot. Thanks for listening. See you next week.